We're doing the Drashot Taran. We're in the third speech on page Mem Dalet.
Mem Gimel here.
Mem. So Mem Beis, the top of page Mem Beis in the Shalem edition, and page Kuf Yud Dalet in the Musadar of Kuk edition. And the Ran had quoted that Aaron was given the right and the responsibility to wear the breastplate, the Choshna Mishpat, as wages for the fact that he was happy over the fact that his little brother was the leader. And he said, we have to explain why, you know, Aaron had many good traits. Why was it specifically for this that he was given that right? And the answer, he said, Vatshuvabazeh, we'll start again from the beginning of the answer, Vatshuvabazeh, and the answer in this, says the Ran, Shekvar hodiyunu rabotenu zal, Shekol midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu midah keneged midah. Our rabbis taught us that the way God works is, he works in accordance with the way we work. He pays us back in similar ways to what we do. Kmo sheshaninu b'mishnatenu, as our Mishnah records, the Mishnah in Sota says it explicitly in the end of the first chapter, that just like the Mishnah explains why the Sota gets punished in a way that's similar to her sin, the Mishnah over there goes through how does a woman sin when she commits adultery, which parts of the body she uses, in which order, in that same order her body gets destroyed in punishment. So the Mishnah says, the same thing holds for good. When a person does something good, the part of the body that he does good with also gets wages. We had a wicked queen named Izebel. She murdered, she brought idol worship, she brought adultery into the country. She did a lot of terrible things. But one good thing she did, when her husband and Kala would come by, she'd go like, woo, with her mouth and her hands, and she'd dance and clap in front of the husband and Kala. That was the one good thing she did. So even though she was cursed by the prophet, that she wouldn't have a normal burial, and when she died, the dogs ate her body, meaning they found nothing left to be buried other than her hands and feet and mouth, because those were the parts of the body she used for a mitzvah. So God also pays back for the good, midah keneged midah, in accordance with the way we behave, in a similar fashion, that the parts that are used for a mitzvah get wages through those parts. God draws a certain parallel between our actions and the way we're paid back. It's not like you do a mitzvah, okay, so now your bank account will go up, you know. So, there is a certain correlation in how it works. Yeah.
Do we say that a person gets credit for a mitzvah when he does it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him? Or here, in this case of Izebel, I don't know if she even believed, you know, she was an idol worshiper, but I believe. So she happened to do something good that happened to be one of the mitzvahs, but not necessarily because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. So does she get credit for that?
So the first question we have to ask is, was she Jewish? Because she came from Tzidon, from the north. And then we have to ask, is there a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? In the Rambam, in Maimonides, there are two different versions. We're not sure what the Rambam wrote about non-Jews. Is the ideal non-Jew one who does mitzvot because Hashem said so? Or maybe the ideal non-Jew is someone who comes to the conclusion, this is right. He can intellectually understand why the Noahide laws are correct. So it seems the correct version is the one that says that that's not the ideal. It's a very high level. We applaud a non-Jew who does the Noahide laws because he can appreciate that they're the moral way of leading life. But it's even better if he could connect it to God. So for non-Jews, we see the Rambam discusses it. For us Jews, so I think we're gauged in different fronts differently. Meaning, when a person does an act of kindness, so there are levels to that act of kindness. The ideal level is that he has both. He cares for the person, and he also does it because Hashem said so. Less than ideal level is a person that doesn't care. He couldn't care less if the guy suffers, but Hashem said so, so he'll do it. Less than ideal is a guy that says, I'll do it because I care, but whether God exists or not, I don't know. I don't think you could say that he doesn't get wages for that. He still did something positive. He didn't do it in the ideal way. A person like that isn't eligible for testimony, you know, if he doesn't believe in Hashem, doesn't connect to Hashem. So on one front, he'll get good wages for the kind things he does, even though it's not connected to Hashem. It's not on the highest level, but he will get sechal for it. On the other end, he's disqualified himself for many things because if he doesn't believe in Hashem. So from our perspective, we have a problem with such a person. You don't appoint such a person to be a witness at your wedding ceremony. His testimony is invalid. You know, so that's because we don't have to judge him. We just have to see how we apply his beliefs to our life. But when it comes to God's judging him, so we say God holds us to task over every little thing, and God also gives wages for every little thing, even the small positive things.
A non-Jew, does he have a mitzvah to make the Chatan and Kala happy?
So I don't think he has a mitzvah specifically that he is obligated to do it, but if he does something positive, he gets sechal. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer shows that when the non-Jews partook of Sarah's funeral, so they have no mitzvah to necessarily do that, but it was a kindness they extended to Avraham Avinu, and so the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer discusses how Hashem ensured they'd get paid back for that. So even though they're not obligated to it, when they do kindness, Hashem ensures they get paid back. And we're still reviewing what we saw last week. The Ran says the reason God wants to work the world in this fashion, that God pays back with a similar way to the actions we do, is so that people they connect with this concept that God is running the world, that He's watching over what's happening here. If God would just pay back good for good, but it wasn't similar, you know, you do a mitzvah with your hands, so you might find that something good is happening with your feet, totally disconnected. If then you could attribute what's happening to coincidence. You know, yeah, sometimes this is better, sometimes that's better. So Hashem tries to say, no, you give a tithe, I'll help you with your assets, I'll help you with your money. Hashem tries to show this correlation between what you give and what you receive. So we can see that he's running the show. But when the payback comes in the same area that the good action was done, then it becomes known that this is because Hashem is watching over it. And that's with God's intent to pay good to those who do good, to those who are good. And that's why our sages attributed this payback to Aaron in exchange for this action. You tell me kama ma'alot tovot she'ayu ba'kuna gdola. More than other things that he got as a kohen gadol. There were other things that Aaron got as a kohen gadol. He got to wear a silver crown, a silver piece up here. He got to wear a different type of hat. He had a lot of things that he was given. But the breastplate that corresponds to the heart, that's placed on the heart, that they corresponded to his kind heart. That he was happy that his brother had it good. And this is indicative of the fact that Aaron did not merit to this elevated stature, but for payback for this action. For it is known, through the breastplate, we could find out from God things in the future. The Kohen Gadol, through the breastplate, could find out what's yet to happen. Technically, that shouldn't have been part of Aaron's lot. Because knowledge of the future and letting people know the future, that's what you have a prophet for. Why does the Kohen Gadol get that right? That wouldn't seem to be the job of the Kohen. The Kohen is the server of Hashem. But the prophecy, that's a different realm. Just like when we look at the prophet, we say, your job is to talk about the future. You can't enter the temple and do the service of God. That's not your job. By the same token, the Kohen's job is doing the service in the temple. We wouldn't think it's his job to tell us things in the future. So that's the point here. God gave him another area of responsibility, of mitzvot, of service of the people of God, this area of the breastplate, which corresponded to his heart. His heart was a good, kind heart on behalf of his brother, so God gave him another mitzvah that had to do with his heart.
So
Maybe you'll say, God wanted the Kohen Gadol to serve before him wearing those special eight clothing. One of eight clothing is the choshen. So that's why Aaron got the right to wear the choshen, because it's one of the clothing God wanted the Kohen Gadol to wear. No, that's not the way it works. Because the idea here is the fact that the choshen could reveal the future, that by wearing the choshen, the Kohen Gadol could know what the future held. And that was not because it was a breastplate. The power that the choshen had to tell us the things into the future was, aval mitzad ha'orim v'atumim shayu ben kfalav, that was because of something else. How was the breastplate built? You had a material. On the top part of the material, you had sewn in 12 frames of gold, and into each frame was placed a stone, different colored stones. That's the top half of the choshen. The bottom half of the choshen was folded back onto it, and inside they slipped in a piece of parchment with God's hidden name on it. And that's called the Urim V'Tumim. Now, that's not really part of the garb. The garb is the breastplate, the folded over. In the second temple, you didn't have the hidden name written with parchment inside. You just had the external breastplate without the lifeline, so to speak, the connection to God. So if the whole point was that God wanted the Kohen Gadol to wear the eight garments, well, the Kohen Gadol could wear the eight garments without God's name hidden inside. And God's name hidden inside is what gave the capacity for the Urim, the Tumim, to give light, that the letters would shine up and answer questions about the future. So he says, you can't tell me that the reason Aaron wore the breastplate was because God wanted the Kohen Gadol to wear eight garments, one of which was the breastplate. That's not so. Because the eight garments don't include this capacity to reveal the future. The capacity to reveal the future was the Urim V'Tumim, that God's hidden name that was written inside in parchment. Shaurim bat ve'im kol ze haya Kohen Gadol be... I'm sorry, I skipped here. Shelo hayu michlal avgadim. The Urim V'Tumim were not part of the garments. I'll prove it, he says. Sharei bebayit sheni lo hayu Urim V'Tumim. In the second temple, they didn't have the hidden name inside. And nonetheless, the Kohen Gadol would have to do a service wearing the eight clothes, because that's not part of the garment. It's considered that he's wearing all eight garments, even though the breastplate doesn't have the hidden name inside. And another proof to this is, the Urim V'Tumim aren't mentioned when it comes to the preparation of the garments. When the Torah says the garments you prepare for the Kohen Gadol, there it makes no mention of God's hidden name inside. Like Nachmanides mentions already, because when the Torah describes the preparation of the eight garments, it says, he made the apron, he made the breastplate, it doesn't say he made the hidden name. That isn't even mentioned when the eight garments are mentioned. Because that really was not done by all the laborers. All those that were preparing the eight garments, they weren't the ones to write God's hidden name. Aval Moshe alav shalom levado nitzteva b'davar. The only one who was given the commandment to prepare God's hidden name to be stuck into the breastplate so that it would have this capacity to tell the future, that was Moshe. K'mo shneimar b'parshat v'ata tetzaveh. As it says in Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem tells Moshe, v'natata al choshen ha'mishpat et ha'orim v'et ha'tumim. You, Moshe, you put the Urim V'Tumim, you put in that piece of parchment into the breastplate. And that's really what Moshe did. It says, in the very end, when it came time to dress Aaron with the garments of the Kohen Gadol, he was going to serve his first day, then it says that Moshe did what God told him. Initially, when it says they prepared the eight garments, it doesn't say anyone prepared the Urim V'Tumim, no one prepared that. Because that wasn't part of the eight garments. It was a specific commandment to Moshe, separate from the eight garments. You, Moshe, put in that my hidden name so that it light up. And that's how it's described. The eight garments are fashioned in Parshas Pekudei. Everything's prepared. Then we come to Parshas Tzav, and in Parshas Tzav, we suddenly have Vayiten et lachoshen et ha'orim et ha'tumim. Then Moshe puts the Urim V'Tumim inside the choshen. Hinei kol ze more. So all of this is indicative that the Urim V'Tumim are not really a part of the Kohen's garments. The Inken, so then we come back to the question. Okay, he needs 8 garments. Lama zecha bo Aaron? So why was Aaron given this right that he would be able to see into the future, which is not really a part of his service before God? Why was Aaron given that extra gift? So that our sages explain, lefichach doshu razal shezecha ligmul tov beoto inyan beatzmo she'era tov levavo. So that our sages said to us, that was payback. He showed he had a good heart, so God gave him payback. Even though technically the first prophet the Jewish people had was Aaron. Before Moshe came to the scene, who was our leader? It was Aaron. And nonetheless, when Aaron hears, Moshe is going to be the one taking the Jews out. Moshe is going to be the prophet. You're going to be his interpreter. He wasn't jealous of Moshe when Moshe was chosen as prophet. God said, you Aaron, you weren't jealous of your brother being the top prophet of the Jewish people? I'll give you a gift. From now on, your family will have prophecy. From now on, you will have the capacity of seeing into the future. God waited with that gift. It took a few years before Aaron receives the gift. But that's the midah keneged midah. Hashem says, you weren't jealous of his prophecy. You weren't jealous he would be the leader. I'll give you eternal prophecy. I'll give you the prophecy of the Urim V'Tumim, which you didn't have to receive. It didn't have to be that way. Technically, prophecy is for prophets. Why is a kohen gadol get prophecy? That was this special gift. Even though technically this is not something that pertains to the priesthood, to the being a kohen. Aval me'asher lo nitkana b'nevuat Moshe zecha b'odat atidot shavel l'nevuah yoter mimena. Because he wasn't jealous of Moshe's prophecy, he merited to tell into the future, which is either equal to prophecy or greater than prophecy. Because our sages already taught us in the Talmud in Yuma, our sages said that when God answers us through the Urim Betumim and tells us what's going to happen in the future, that's more binding than the future God reveals through a prophet. Amru Sham, our sages said in the Talmud in Yuma, even though a prophet can decree something, and then God could change his mind. It can be undone. Zerat, we saw that today in Amos, right? God told Amos, tell them the locusts are coming. Amos prayed, and then God said, okay, no locusts coming. God, right? We saw. So God told Amos, I'm sending fire to destroy them. Amos prayed, and God said, okay, no fire coming to destroy them. So the prophecies God is willing to undo, gzerat urim v'tumim ena chozeret, but decrees that God gives through the urim v'tumim, through the kohen gadol, that God doesn't undo. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, v'sha'al lo b'mishpat urim lifnei Hashem, he will ask the justice of the urim before God. And our sages derived, why is it called mishpat urim? Ma mishpat eino chozer, af gzerat urim v'tumim ena chozeret. Just like a decree that a court makes is not repealed, so too the decrees of the Urim Betumim is not repealed. Here you see Aaron got this great level. It's even greater than prophecy in certain ways. Not only that, Aaron got it not only for himself, but for future generations too. Moshe didn't have prophecy for future generations. Moshe had prophecy for himself. God gave Aaron for himself and future generations. And all of this is as wages for the fact that he helped Moshe take the Jews out. He was like Moshe's helper, and he wasn't jealous of Moshe. And because of this too, going back to our first point, this first mitzvah that God gave the Jewish people, the mitzvah of the new moon, was given to both of them. V'amar Hashem said, "Bayom Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron." God says, "Aaron, I'm going to give you the first prophecy together with Moshe. You're not jealous of him, so at least the first prophecy you will receive together." Hashem said to both of them in the land of Mitzrayim, saying the following: "Be'etz Mitzrayim lemor, ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim." This month is the first month. And Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll pick up where he will go back to this pasuk, which was really the point we started with, and analyze a few more aspects of this pasuk before we conclude this third speech, Bezrat Hashem.